aboard the Truth Express with your conductor, Erskine, who give you the latest on national news, politics, policies, business, and government issues.
Doug Giles, the man behind ClashDaily.com. ClashDaily.com is radio and his website. He has authored Rise, Kill, and Eat, Raising Righteous and Rowdy Girls, which he did, Raising Boys Feminists Will Hate. His podcast, Warriors and Wild Men, hit over, well, he's well over half a million. I think it's about 1.5 million now downloads. His interests include big game hunting, fishing, fine art, cigars, has his own cigar brand, helping wounded warriors, being a pain in the butt to people who dislike God and the USA. He's an artist. He's also penned Pussification. That is the book that told me what Jesus was like. All the going to church, my mama took me to church every day, every Sunday. I got dressed up, went to church, but I never understood Jesus until I read Pussification. It tells what Jesus was like. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because the image that we're getting from the churches is a wussified, pussified form of Jesus. What the real Jesus was like, oh my God, it's in the Bible. It tells you, if you just read the book. And he's got 3 chapters in his new book about books, how you should be reading. My grandfather's a patriotic badass, Rules for Radical Christians, would Jesus vote for Trump? Badass Women of the Bible, that's one of my favorites. Psalms of War, that's one which can help us all. They're prayers that kick ass. His latest book, however, tells how Doug found Jesus and much more. He was a wild man. The Wild Man Devotional, 50 devotionals for men that women will love. As a child, you think you're wild now. You were a wild man as a child. I mean, you did all sorts of different things. I mean, it's incredible. And December 7th, 1983, you were lucky to make it to December 7th, 1983, my friend, weren't you?
Yeah, thank God for his grace, and because I was on Bon Scott's Highway to Hell, no kidding.
I think you were into drugs, you were into drinking, you're into any woman you could find, all of that. A lot of us were in the same boat. I'm not going to say I was any better than you were. I was almost the same. I was reading that. I said, oh, Doug's writing that about me. I'm going, no, it's about him. I said, he couldn't have done all that. And yes, you did. What changed you December 7th, 1983? You've got a specific date. Now, I got a friend of mine, Kenny, and Kenny was an alcoholic, and he came home drunk one night, and he saw an angel, and the angel beat the absolute crap out of him. I'm not kidding. That's what he says. It's his story. He tells it. He said it took that because nothing else would have straightened him around. Well, that isn't what happened to you, but you had an equally disturbing event happen, didn't you?
Yeah, it's interesting that your buddy said that the angel kicked his ass, because if you read in the scripture, every time an angel showed up, there were no female angels. The angelic host, when it manifests itself to us poor dunderheads and stuff, it shook either terror in our hearts, or they punched us, or they did something. So
this angel
I don't think he's lying, man. I don't think he's lying.
No, I don't think so. He's been sober for over 40 years, doesn't dare touch another drink. This angel literally scared it out of him, absolutely scared it out
of him.
That's
awesome.
And people think of angels being sweet little things with little wings. It ain't that way, man. No, they are warriors.
Yeah, every time somebody in the scripture saw an angel, they drop like a dead man. And they're created beings, man. Can you imagine having face-to-face with our ascended Lord of glory, Jesus Christ? Nobody's going to say, hey, buddy, and give him a high five. You're going to be on your face. You're going to be flat on your nose. All the color in your skin's going to rush out of your body. And, again, at least that's what it says according to the scripture. You know, when somebody beheld Christ in his ascended state, boom, they drop like a frickin' anvil.
I'm going to read the back of this because it's too good. I'm sure some Lysol-disinfected Christian is pearl-clutching over my usage of the word wild man. the book is called The Wild Man Devotionals, because I've gotten used to what Satan told Christendom, namely a mild man, mild man. And I like the way you describe Jesus as in some of the churches as a person walking around spraying euphemisms like Joel Osteen on crystal meth. I mean, that was the best description ever. Well, allow me, my fragile friend, to explain what I mean by biblical wild man, a threat to any group, party, person, or thing that attempts to keep him in a state of puerile domesticity, a veritable stooge to the machine. Wild man's a person who's free from political correct pressure to conform to nonsense or else be canceled. A wild man's nonsense, 85 different sexes. Do you get more nonsensical than that? No. A wild man's a person who's free from political correctness pressure. Unowned, unmanipulated, unbound, beholden, undomesticated, unapologetic, and unashamed, for who are they in God and Christ? Jesus wasn't manageable. He didn't give two flips about what men thought. He wasn't spooked by Satan's threat. He didn't kiss religious or political butt. Bold, free, and wild before the Father. We take our cue from that 30-year-old rebel from Galilee, not castrated Christendom. You got a witness on that one. You absolutely do. Now, what happened to you December 7th? Did you see an angel or what happened?
Yeah, I didn't even know I was getting born again, and that's what the scripture calls it.
You never went to church. You never went to church the whole time. Your mother, your father didn't take you to church or anything, did they?
Yeah, not once, not to a wedding or a funeral. So, you know, being
no,
in Texas,
no Christmas service, none of that, none of that.
Yeah, none. And I kind of dig the fact that I had no kind of Christian training. I didn't know what a Christian was supposed to do, and just came in raw, man, kicking and screaming. And there's a ton of Christendom that I utterly reject. I reject their effeminization of men. Where if you're going to be a Christian dude, you got to throw out your brains. You got to get rid of your balls. You know, you got to wear a cardigan and walk around, you know, just spouting soliloquies and being nice and cute. I had no desire whatsoever growing up young. It's like when I get old, I want to be nice. No, when I get old, I want to be effective. I want to be somebody who stands for that which is holy, just, and good. I want to perfect the middle finger against everything that's ridiculous and irrational and evil and full of inequities and injustice. That's what I wanted. And you see Christ fulfilling every bit of that. And if people think that, you know, he's some kind of soft focus feminine hygiene figurine that, you know, just kind of walks around in a beige peignoir wearing Birkenstocks and handing out daisies, they've clearly never read the scripture, because he's the antithesis of that. He's like you just read, I said on the back cover of the Warrior or the Wild Man Devotional, is that he was a 30-year-old rebel with a cause. If you said something stupid in front of him, he's going to light you up. If you're a corrupt politician, get brace for it, because he's going to expose you. If you're a corrupt priest or pastor, then get ready, because he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's going to expose your lies, hype, and spin. And he'll do it in public. He won't pull you aside and address you. He'll, if you do stupid things in public, he's going to rebuke you in public. And that's sweet baby Jesus, you know, 7 pounds, 13 ounces. And a lot of people miss that, Erskine, because a lot of people miss that, man, because they don't read the scripture in its entirety without any kind of filter on it. Like, I like my scripture, Erskine, like I like my whiskey. Straight up.
Absolutely. Don't water stuff down. Don't mix it with Coke. You got one of the things that really got to me. I wanted to be forgiven, but I didn't want to be a Christian. For example, I experienced major conviction, and yet I didn't want to become a Christian because of the effeminized Christian males I'd met. I'm almost bargaining with God. I went something like this. Forgive me, let me go to heaven, but don't make me sing sappy songs, wear nerdy Christian clothes, and act like Jim Baker on PTL Club or like your lame duck dork named Todd, the youth group director. Well, I remember when I was younger, watching Jim and Tammy smoking some weed. It's really good to watch Jim and Tammy if you're smoking weed. It took a whole new perspective. You know where I'm coming from, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I went back to that. Yeah.
Yeah, when we go on vacation, we'd go to my aunt's house, and she was big time into the PTO club, and I was like, it was like a freak show. It was like going to the carnival, man, and seeing the one-eyed monster.
If you were stoned, it was the greatest show going, watching those two up there.
Yeah, she's talking about how God, you know, blessed her with an air-conditioned doghouse that was 7,000 square feet. I go, you got your dog in a frickin' 7,000 square foot air-conditioned penthouse? You got to be kidding me. And you want me to send you how much more money? Hey, Tammy, go blank yourself.
One of the things, let me start with the first one. This is just too good. From nobody to somebody. God made something out of Abraham. He was a nobody. God loved jacking people's heads, especially do-gooder, self-righteous. Look at me. I'm Sandra Dee, type of religious mooks. One of the ways he baffles their basis is by choosing and using people they don't give two flying craps about. I'm not talking about folks with religious hoity-toity deemed unusable and unlovable. Theme of God choosing, using the base of the corrupted so thick throughout the scriptures, even Stevie Wonder could see it. You wrote in a couple of your books about the people that God used. They weren't goody-goodies. They were the dregs of society. Nobody would want them. They were really nasty people, but God used them because they knew how to fight. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and like with Abraham, God's like, okay, I'm going to burn a nation. Let me see. I need one Brad Pitt, give me some Blake Lively. No, he goes for a 100-year-old dude who's shooting blanks, and there's no Viagra, there's no Cialis, there's none of that stuff. He's got heavy duty erectile dysfunction. Sarah's womb is dry and dusty. There's no eggs in her, and so through this 100-year-old dude and a 90-year-old lady, He birthed the nation of Israel. So again, you know, nobody would have picked Abraham. He's a freaking Iraqi. Nobody would ever pick Sarah. They would go, it's like, if we're going to, you know, create and birth a nation, then we get some young, virile male and female. No, he wants a king to govern Israel. They pick Saul. God picks David. He's a teenager who had the balls to throw a rock at an ugly giant, who also committed adultery and conspired to cover it up by murdering Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Right. Then you look at Samson and Judges. Oh, my gosh. This guy actually boinked a Stormy Daniels prostitute. He married a girl like Miley Cyrus, and God says you're perfect to govern Israel. And the list could go literally on and on and on of all the miscreant zombies that God in his providence comes in, graces, and then empowers them. And it's the
fulfillment of hope for all of us. We'll be right back. The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for a no-fee-for-life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today. Doug, you wrote 4 chapters in this book, The Wild Man Devotional, about books. You really believe in reading all you can, don't you?
Yeah, my professor, Dr. R.C. Sproul, is one of the most brilliant theologians in modern times, that's for sure. His mantra was, know as much about as many things as possible, because the unexamined life is kind of a boring life. It's really not worth living. But, you know, nowadays, young people have the attention span of a ferret on a double espresso, and so they don't think deep and wide. And the resultant effect is, I think we're gonna have a nation of stooges. And the upshot, though, is that I just turned 60 last week, and I'll be dead before they really start ruining this country.
Everything they know, Doug, they learn from Google. If you want something done, you've got your tablet. You can look at that. And you're only learning what Google teaches you and that type of stuff. And they're into... I see that you were banned from Facebook. I was too. I don't trust anybody who hasn't been banned from Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, I had 2 million followers, a page reach of 10 to 20 million per week, not month or year. And we were one of the top publishers on Facebook. And my buddies nowadays, they'll come up to me. And a lot of them know that I was banned for life in the first attack in 2018 when Zuckerberg was doing his purges. They know that I was banned. They know that it cost us a lot of money, man. We had all that stuff monetized, and we were making nearly seven figures a year in our publishing. And they'll say to me, Erskine's like, hey, man, I got banned from Facebook. I'm in Facebook jail for 7 days. It's like, well, keep trying, man. Quit being a wuss. 7 days.
I told a friend of mine, I said I got banned from Facebook. She said, what took them so long? I thought that was great.
I literally told, I'm not going to tell you who it was because he's a big name dude. And he's a good friend of mine. I just don't want to, you know, shame him. When I was doing his TV show, I go, how the hell are you still on YouTube and Facebook? He goes, I don't know. It's just the Lord's blessings. Like, no, you need to try harder, man. And sure enough, they got him about a year and a half later. They want to ban anybody who is a free thinker, anybody who's into this thing called liberty, Ten Commandments, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. They want us to be stepping fetches and parrot their stupid, brainwashed, bullcrap Marxist slavery mantras and stuff. And those platforms, you need to understand that if you're going to be a friend of this thing called God and liberty, that you're persona non grata, and I wouldn't spend a hell of a lot of money building out your reach, because they're going to garrote you at their first opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. You can't make nice with these people. You cannot talk nice with the devil. You cannot hope that things are going to change. They're not going to. That's a mistake they make, isn't it? They give in, and they don't.
Well, if you don't stand for
something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, here's where Christians and conservatives are stupid. They think, oh, you know, we can go on there and, you know, use their platform, and we can hand them money. It's like they loathe you. Everything that a Christian or a conservative or a liberty-minded person holds in high esteem, they crap on. And we saw, you know, what they were doing and the algorithm ratcheting down our reach. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, Facebook had a window from about 2007 to 2000, pretty much right after Trump got elected. It was the Wild West, and it was fun. And like I said, we monetized all of our articles, and we made a pretty decent chunk of change in that short window. But you know what? The leftists, like you said, Erskine, they loathe us. Leopards don't change their spots, and they do not believe in free speech.
You can't make friends with the devil. If you do, you're talking the wrong way. We'll be right back with Doug Giles.
The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal
fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for no fee for life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today. What Doug writes about, he's lived. Your wife must be a saint, Margaret. She's got to be a saint, but you have two wonderful, because I know you would not be an easy person to live with. You'd have to say that yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, she married me because I was full of piss and vinegar, man. So
she knew what
she's not. She's not tolerating it. She's cheerleading it.
Great, even better. And your two daughters, they've become rowdy girls. They have become girls with both black belts. I mean, they are just absolutely kicking it. There's no two ways around it. You've got a chapter I like, Four Signs of a Great Church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's from Acts. That's a great church. You say what most clowns are looking for, good church, they mean they're looking for great Christian entertainment, big screen, skinny jeans, smoke machines, great coffee, fun atmosphere, place to dump off their demonic kids that they haven't even disciplined, a groovy pastor, short services, feel-good messages. Now, what you're saying is what you need to look for, Christians devoted to the apostles' doctrine. Those who read the gospel, the Christians are devoted to fellowship, devoted to breaking bread, devoted to prayer. They want to be a family devoted to prayer, fellowship, and the word of God. If your church isn't teaching, like Aubrey Shines told me, Pastor Shine, Bishop Shines, he said, if your church isn't preaching the gospel and they're not preaching American exceptionalism, get out of it. I think that makes a lot of sense, don't you, Doug?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, people who take the apostles' doctrine seriously, you could probably fit them into your broom closet at your studio. And I'm talking about the pastors, and the pastors are, to me, they're shameful, they're pathetic. You know, the ones that are glamming off, trying to imitate Jimmy Fallon, or trying to be hip and groovy and woke, and you know, they're trying to be relevant to a fault. I like the dudes like John the Baptist, man. He was not a game player. he showed up out of the wilderness with a message that would, if you had straight hair, it'd curl it, and if you had curly hair, it would straighten it. But there's not, I don't see a lot of gravitas, man, with a lot of pastors, especially the young ones. I mean, it's, like I said, it's skinny jeans, it's big screens, it's smoke machines, it's, they want everybody to like them,
right,
and they want to be popular, and they want to be an influencer, and I want to see somebody show up out of nowhere with a thus saith the Lord word, and that scares the living crap out of us narcissistic Americans.
What really turned you around? Was there one event there that shook you up and turned you around on this December 7th, 1983? You went into a lot of it, but I'd like to hear you tell exactly what happened. How was it a flash event or something like that that turned you around, or did you just wake up one day?
Nah, I was going nowhere real fast. And my sister, she gave me a Bible when I was like 10 years old because I was freaking out because I read The Exorcist that my dumbass brother gave me a copy of. And I concluded, Erskine, that if the devil could possess Reagan, for playing a Ouija board one too many times, and I'd already done way more bad things than that when I was 10.
Right.
So I'm a piece of cake. My head's going to be turning up, 360. I'm going to be spewing green vomit, and I'm going to be levitating, off the top of my bed at midnight. And so
right.
I was just absolutely freaked out of my mind. And so she gave me a Bible, and I'd read that, try to get the the demons to leave me alone. So finally that subsided, and I started just partying really hard. And I understood if I dealt drugs, I could get all that I wanted for free.
Right.
By pinching, the stash. And so anyway, that got bad. And sister and brother-in-law preached to me a little bit, but, I was completely closed off to the gospel. I didn't want to get saved. I wanted to get laid. I wanted to drive a fast car. I wanted to have fun. I watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Erskine, and I took notes. So it just got weird, man. I really, really got onto the dark side of the moon and doing way too much hallucinogens. And I was 21, and I'm like, I'm working at a gas station. I've been kicked out of college, and it's like, this is not funny anymore. This is really, if I keep going this way, I'm going to die.
Right.
It's going to be real quick. And so that was what was cooking in me the night of December 7th. And I was out on a double date, and I told the people that I was out with, like, I can't do this anymore. They're like, what?
Yeah, in the middle of
about?
The date, you'd say, I'm going to take you home. Right. That was certainly not like you, was it?
No, man. I'd be all over my girlfriend, and we stay till we, can barely see straight. And,
right.
The conviction was just there, man.
Let me read this, because this is too good. While we were partying in my car out of nowhere, I told my main squeeze, I want to go home. She's like, we just got here. What's wrong? I said, nothing. And I just want to go home. She said, okay. And off we went. You're ready to bang uglies. I mean, you had everything ready to go, and you took her home. Did you almost pinch yourself and say, that's not me doing this? But no, it was the real you doing that, wasn't it?
It was the Holy Spirit. He was working me big time. And
right.
Everybody's like, well, the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman and he won't force you to do anything. He hammered me with a 2x4 from heaven. I felt that I was damned if I don't change. I felt convicted of my sin, and I felt that if I was to perish without making it right with Christ, that I would be damned to an eternal hell. That's what I felt. And that's when I gave up. I said, all right, if you are who you say you are, change me. And boom, that happened December 7th, 1983.
Wow. And you haven't looked back.
Well, of course, I'm still a goofy sinner. I've had my... I've botched a couple of do-si-dos in the square dance of Christianity. But, I haven't looked back. Like I said, I'm still sucking air on this terra firma, so I've got to deal with my carnal nature. But as far as any kind of regrets, or like
no.
When people say, Christianity's boring, it's like, not mine, Cha-Cha. I've been a Christian for 39 years, been all over this planet, seeing God's incredible blessing all over my life and my family's life, and just authored 20 books, 9 number one bestsellers. That's a former drug-addled moron, Beavis and Butthead gas attendant that did all that, and it never would have occurred without Christ coming into my life. Never.
Well, the chapters are so, it takes almost no time to read this book because it's written, you just go through it so fast. I love this one. Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership. That's war. It's light, my friends. And the dark, does Christ go strolling with the devil? That's 2 Corinthians. I've heard pastors say it doesn't matter who a Christian votes for or what party they support. They're just called to love Jesus. And you say, no, 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 no. I think it does matter if political party's cool with murdering unborn children. political parties cool with same-sex marriage, teaching 5 to 9-year-olds sodomy and transgenderism's groovy, declaring only white people are pure or evil when everyone else outside Christ is radically corrupt, bowing to godless foreign countries that hate America, allowing a lawless invasion of our southern border, being unable to define what a woman is, big dudes competing against smaller women in sport, forcing little children to wear ineffective face masks, and publicly booing God at the national convention. These are things you've got to stand up. When you see wickedness, you have to, don't you?
Yeah, but again, going back to the pastors and stuff, there's some churches around where we live. It's like, we're not going to talk about politics because politics is divisive and Jesus never addressed political issues.
Plus, we've got our 501c3 status. We can't lose that.
Yeah, so they worship the 501c3.
And, they do.
What's sad, though, Erskine, is when these little tinker pots die and they rock up to the judgment seat and go toe-to-toe with God, whose eyes is flame of fire, they're going to feel like a moron because they were politically correct instead of a truth dealer. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that tete-a-tete from God when he says, you are a pussy. You didn't say anything. You curled up in the fetal position. You were scared about this mean old culture and some persecution that you might have to fend off. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you.
You have had a number of people come to you and say that they discovered Jesus through your writings, haven't you, Doug?
Yeah, man, it's weekly. It's weird. I've had people, this guy came to our church service from Kansas, just to hear me speak. He said, when we were living in South Florida, he said, I got onto your stuff and it just completely changed my life. And then when you moved back to Texas, it was closer than Miami. And he's like, I just want to thank you. And, I had this guy come up to me, big redheaded dude. He's got these beautiful redheaded daughters. Pretty wife, and he just comes out of nowhere and he goes, are you Doug Giles? I'm like, yeah. Are you going to beat me up? And he goes, I read your book, Raising Righteous and Rowdy Girls, and everything that you advised dads to do, he said, I've done that, and these are my 5 daughters that have been raised to fear God, raised to sense BS, raised to in jujitsu. They're classy Southern belles with visionaries and an attitude of rebellion against all that, which is stupid. And the weird thing about writing a book's like, and I don't know why I think this because I've been very successful doing it. It's like every time I start clackety clacking on the laptop, I'm thinking, nobody's going to read this.
Oh.
And then the next thing you know, they're buying, truckloads and shipping them to India and Pakistan. So
I've done that with your books. And the reason that I admire you so much is you're the person who showed me what Jesus really was. And you've heard that from people on top of people. Nobody's doing the type of work you are. You're just putting it out there honestly. Why can't these preachers be honest about it? They've got it all written out for them. Why?
I've wrestled with that. Why aren't they doing it? It's got to come down to money, man. It's just got to come down to money and the need to be loved. Like, that's why I'm always a big proponent. I tell ministers this all the time, even if they're full-time. It's like, you need to get more rev streams. Why do I need more revenue streams? Because if you have a financial cushion that's not beholden to the church coffers, and you get some demonized elder, deacon board, trying to, muzzle you when you should be, prophetically screaming the truth at them, then you've got your blank you money. You can tell them that you're not beholden to them. You can quit if they don't like it. You're not on their dole. And that's what I've always been. I've always had at least 3 to 5 sources of income, And so when people try to threaten me, you know, in our church, oh, we're going to take our money if you don't chill out. It's like, go pound sand. I'll tell you, there's a compromised church over here. There's a politically correct church over here. There's a woke church over there that you can go to. You're not going to threaten me, you know, with your cash, and you might leave if I don't kiss your backside. That ain't going to happen here, Cha-Cha.
I think you've got a message that more people want to hear, because your message goes to the heart. Your message is strong, it's solid, and you've got no room for compromise. You can't compromise. You cannot. And you certainly
too old for it, man.
To.
You know, and again, if the minister understood, you know, truly that you are going to face God for what comes out of your mouth, you're not going to fear men. You're not going to compromise. You're not going to talk, you know, spiritual hogwash. You're going to be again like John the Baptist. This is what the Lord said. You know, I'm just the UPS guy. I'm delivering the message. Don't shoot me. And but a lot of pastors, you know, again, they want to be liked. They want the cush job. They're not terrified of the Lord. And I believe I'm saved by grace, Erskine, and has nothing to do with works. I'm justified by faith alone, through grace alone, by Christ alone. However, I do have a healthy dose of the fear of God. And I think that is missing from the church. He's our little Santa Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He's our celestial bellhop. He's not a holy God. And Scripture says otherwise.
You know, one of the things that people wonder about, I'm 60 years old, or I'm 50, or I'm 70. It doesn't matter. Can I be saved? Let's talk about that real quick when we get back. With Doug Giles, The Wild Man Devotional. One of the best books you're ever going to read. It's really about Doug, for real, and real from the
Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for no fee for life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was, is it ever too late? And remember Jim Roach, who was a physician in Lexington, Kentucky, wrote a book called God's House Calls. Guy was about 70 years old or something. He died and came back. And it was one of those things where he had a near-death experience. I know that, Doug, you've heard a lot about those and seen some of them. And the guy said, he asked him what it was like. He said, it was terrible. It was awful. He said, I want to live forever. He said, I don't want to die. It was awful. He said, what do you expect? You were a reprobate. You drank. You beat your children. You were a terrible husband. I'm going to change. He said, yeah, you're going to change. He did. 2 years later, he had another near-death experience. What was it like? Beautiful. No longer afraid of death. Well, it's never too late for somebody to make a difference and to change, is it, Doug?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, you look again in the scripture, there's a lot of old farts, man, that came online late in life. And the cool thing about when you get converted and say that you've wasted, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or just bravado beating your chest and I'm the Uberman and whatever you're into outside of Christ, you're lost. And in him, he makes up for all those years that of grief, all the years that sin ate away, all those stupid, bad decisions. So he not only saves us from eternal damnation, but he also makes up, again, for the time of all the bad decisions that you made in your family, your business, your relationships. And he comes in there and just completely renovates, you know, your life. So it's not just, I'm not going to have to go to hell now. It's not only that, but he renews your youth. He renews your mind. He renews relationships. You get brought into a family that's global. You get, you know, better relationships. You don't have to have all the dope and all the psychotropes and all that other stuff. He comes in and liberates your soul. So when people think of Christianity, they usually think, it's like, I got to start behaving now. It's like, no, you get to start living now. And also, like, if you're 50, 60, 70, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to retire and sit in my rocking chair, he will give you fresh vision. He'll refire you instead of retire you.
Oh, absolutely. And,
yeah, man. I mean, like, I turned 60 literally last weekend. And Erskine, I'm telling you, man, even though I don't recover as fast, I feel like I'm freaking 30 years old. And and everybody, I got buddies that are retiring right now. It's like, what are you going to do? Well,
right,
I don't know.
Right.
You know, one of them's just drinking bourbon, you know, every day. And it's like, dude, you need to get a fresh vision. You need to start another business. When my oldest brother retired at 45, he just struck the mother load. He started getting weird, started getting fat, and he was like, I got to start a company. He started a company and cranked up multi-millions again within a 5-year time period. Guys, if you don't say yes to Christ, not only will it affect you in eternity, it'll also affect you in time. He's a life giver. He's not a cosmic killjoy. And
right.
The churches
I
got
to quote
him.
One thing that you said that I think may mean a lot to people. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action, from Matthew. Two of you get together. That's what it takes, isn't it?
Dude, how crazy is that, Erskine? If you and I
love it.
If you and I get, if we agree on anything, that's according to his will, of course, not that you and I both get some gorgeous 19-year-old stripper to be our mistress, but if we know that it's, if we know it's
now.
Righteous and it's God's will, it says when we make a prayer of it and we agree with each other
right.
on this thing, that God moves into action. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
And yet that's
Absolutely.
Exactly what Christ said.
So that's our call to action. Two more get together and do a call to action. God will move in and help us. Remember that God is always there for us. And even in the darkest of times, God is there for us. And you bring that up. And the Wild Man Devotional, what I like about it is it's about you. Thank you for writing about you. I've got a much better understanding of the person you are. Doug, you have helped so many people, including yours truly. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Stay rowdy.
Stay rowdy.
All aboard the Truth Express. You can listen on your favorite podcast app or local radio station.
Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs Operated, 5 years running for your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.